You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible Week International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to day 321 in Ezekiel chapter 32. God continues speaking against Egypt, again personally attacking Pharaoh. There are some colorful illustrations to show just how devastating his loss will be. And this is especially in the hands of the Babylonians, who will come down to Egypt and take care of business. But it's not just Egypt, of course. The princes of the north, such as Edom and Sidon, well, they're all in the underworld. Pharaoh's going to be very happy to see all of them. All these proud princes all now in the underworld, defeated, but together. In chapter 33, we hear this allusion of a watchman. That is, if he warns the people and they ignore him, well, it's on them. But if the watchman fails to blow the trumpet at the sign of danger, then everyone will die. But this time, the watchman will be responsible. And in this case, Ezekiel is that watchman. So he must tell the people about all of these calamities that are to happen. An interesting moment later in chapter 33, news comes that Jerusalem has fallen due to the Babylonian siege, and Ezekiel is now able to talk. And that seems strange because it seems like he's been talking for quite a while. But remember, God was going to make him silent back in chapter 3, verse 26, and that he will not be able to speak until the exile happens. And now it's happening just as was predicted. The problem is, people like the good things Ezekiel says, and they compare him to a singer of love songs. But it's not until the calamities, the disasters, actually begin to happen do people begin to see Ezekiel in a different light, that he is a prophet to be taken seriously. In the New Testament, we'll begin the book of James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. So you would hope that in his book, we might get some intimate details about Jesus. You know, did he have any pets? What was his favorite food? Or any funny things he did with his brothers that his parents never knew about? Unfortunately, we don't get any details about Jesus himself. We're not sure why, but some say the actual real James may or may not have actually written the book. There were plenty of ghostwriters at that time. But regardless, James has three major points, just like Peter and Jude have. It's the same three points. One, how Christians should live, things Christians should be avoiding, and when the world is going to end. And it's those three things that we hear repeated throughout the different letters. I'll be giving a more detailed introduction to the book of James later in this episode. If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry. And you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started. Ezekiel chapter 32. Pharaoh, a lion or a dragon? On the first day of the 12th month, in the 12th year of captivity, the Lord spoke to me.
Son of man, sing this funeral song for Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
You think you are a lion among the nations? You are more like a sea monster. You splash around in your rivers and make the water muddy with your feet. This is what the Lord God says.
I have gathered many people together. Now I will throw my net over you. Then those people will pull you in, and I will drop you on the dry ground. I will throw you down in the field. I will let all the birds come and eat you, and all the wild animals fill themselves with your flesh. I will scatter your body on the mountains. I will fill the valleys with your dead body. I will pour your blood on the mountains, and it will soak down into the ground. The rivers will be full of you. I will make you disappear. I will cover the sky and make the stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not shine. I will darken the lights in the sky over you. I will make your whole country dark.
This is what the Lord God says.
Many nations will be troubled when I bring an enemy to destroy you. Nations you don't even know will be upset. I will shock many lands, and their kings will tremble with fear when they see that I have attacked you. They will be terrified on the day you fall. Each king will be afraid for his own life.
That will happen because of what the Lord God says.
The sword of the king of Babylon will come to fight against you. I will use those soldiers to kill your people in battle. They come from the most terrible of the nations. They will destroy the things Egypt is proud of and all its people. I will also destroy all the animals by the rivers in Egypt. People's feet and the hooves of cattle will not make the water muddy anymore. So I will make the water in Egypt calm. I will cause their rivers to run slowly. They will be slick like oil.
This is what the Lord God says.
I will make the land of Egypt empty. That land will lose everything. I will punish all the people living in Egypt. Then they will know that I am the Lord.
This is a sad song that people will sing for Egypt. The daughters and other nations will sing this sad song. They will sing it as a sad song about Egypt and all its people. This is what the Lord God says. Egypt to be destroyed. On the 15th day of that month, in the 12th year of captivity, the Lord spoke to me.
Son of man, cry for the people of Egypt. Lead Egypt and the daughters from powerful nations to the grave. Lead them to the world below, where they will be with the other people who went down into that deep pit. Egypt, you are no better than anyone else. Go down to the place of death. Go and lie down with those foreigners. The Egyptians will go to be with all those who were killed in battle. The enemy has pulled her and all her people away. Strong and powerful men were killed in battle. Those foreigners went down to the place of death. And from that place, those who were killed will speak to Egypt and its partners.
Assyria is there in the place of death. Around it are the graves of all its soldiers who were killed in battle. Their graves are down in the deepest part of that pit. When they were alive, they terrified people everywhere they went. But now, they have been killed with swords. Elam is there, and all its soldiers lie around its grave. All of them were killed in battle. When they were alive, they terrified people everywhere they went. But now, they have gone down to the world below as enemies of God's people. They share the shame of all who go down into that deep pit. They have made a bed for Elam and all its soldiers who are killed in battle. Elam's army is all around its grave. All those foreigners were killed in battle. When they were alive, they terrified people. But they carried their shame with them down into that deep pit. They were put with all the other people who were killed. Meshech, Tubal, and all their armies are there. Their graves are all around them. All those foreigners were killed in battle. When they were alive, they terrified people. But now, they are lying down by the powerful men who died long, long ago. They were buried with their weapons of war. Their swords will be laid under their heads. But their sins are on their bones, because when they were alive, they terrified people. Egypt, you also will be destroyed, and you will lie down by those foreigners. You will lie with the other soldiers who were killed in battle. Edom is there also. His kings and other leaders are there with him. They were powerful soldiers, but now they lie with the other men who were killed in battle. They are lying there with those foreigners and with the other people who went down into that deep pit. All the rulers from the north are there, and the soldiers from Sidon are there too. Their strength terrified people, but now they are embarrassed. Those foreigners lie there with the other men who were killed in battle. They carried their shame with them down into that deep pit. Yes, Pharaoh and all his army will be killed in battle. Pharaoh will be comforted when he sees his many men and all the others who went down into the place of death. This is what the Lord God says.
People were afraid of Pharaoh when he was alive, but he will lie down next to those foreigners. Pharaoh and his army will lie down with all the other soldiers who were killed in battle.
This is what the Lord God says. Ezekiel 33. God chooses Ezekiel to be a watchman. The Lord spoke to me.
Son of man, give this message to your people. Whenever I bring enemy soldiers to fight against a country, the people choose someone to be a watchman.
If this guard sees enemy soldiers coming, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. If people hear the warning but pay no attention to it, it is their own fault if the enemy comes and kills them. It is their fault because they heard the alarm but didn't pay attention to it. If they had paid attention to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But what if the guard sees the enemy soldiers coming and does not blow the trumpet? Since he doesn't warn the people, the enemy will capture them and take them away as captives. They will be taken away because they sinned. But the guard will also be responsible for their deaths.
Now, son of man, I am choosing you to be a watchman for the people of Israel. If you hear a message from my mouth, you must warn the people for me. I might say to you, these evil people will die. Then you must go and warn them for me. If you don't warn them and tell them to change their lives, those evil people will die because they sinned. And I will make you responsible for their deaths. But if you do warn the evil people to change their lives and stop sinning, and if they refuse to stop, they will die because they sin. But you have saved your life.
God does not want to destroy people.
So, son of man, speak to the people of Israel for me. They are saying,
we have sinned and broken the law. The guilt of our sins is too much to endure. They are killing us. What can we do to live?
You must say to them, as surely as I live,
says the Lord God,
I don't want any wicked person to die. I want them to stop doing evil and live. So, people of Israel, change the way you are living. Turn away from evil. You don't have to die. Son of man, tell your people this.
The good things people did in the past will not save them from punishment or give them life if they start sinning. And the bad things people did in the past will not destroy them if they turn from their evil.
What if I tell good people that they will live, but then they change and start sinning? They may think that the good things they did in the past will save them, but I will not remember the good things they did. No, they will die because of their sins. Or what if I warn some evil people that they will die, but then they stop sinning and begin to do what is just and right? What if they give back someone's property that they had no right to keep? What if they return what they have stolen? What if they begin to follow the laws that give life and stop doing evil? Then they will certainly live. They will not die. They will not remember the bad things they did in the past. They will live because they have done what is just and right. Ezekiel, your people say,
the Lord is not being fair.
But they are the ones who are not fair. They are the ones who must change. If good people stop doing good and start doing evil, they will die because of their sin. And if evil people stop doing wrong and start doing what is just and right, they will live. People of Israel, you say that I am not being fair, but I will judge everyone by what they have done.
Jerusalem has been taken. On the fifth day of the 10th month in the 12th year of captivity, a person who had escaped from the battle in Jerusalem came to me and said,
the city has been taken.
The evening before that person came to me, the power of the Lord took control of me, He gave me back my voice. So when that person came, I was able to speak again. Then the Lord spoke to me.
Son of man, there are Israelites who live in the ruined cities in Israel. They are saying,
Abraham was only one man, and God gave him all this land. Now we are many people, so surely this land belongs to us. It is our land.
You must tell them that this is what the Lord God says. You eat meat with the blood still in it. You look to your idols for help. You murder people. So why should I give you this land? You depend on your own sword. Each of you does disgusting things. Each of you commits sexual sins with his neighbor's wife. So you cannot have the land. You must tell them that this is what the Lord God says. As surely as I live, the people living in the ruined cities will be killed with a sword. If any people are out in the country, I will let animals kill and eat them. If people are hiding in the fortresses and the caves, they will die from disease. I will make that place an empty wasteland. That country will lose all the things it was proud of. The mountains of Israel will become empty. No one will pass through that place. The people have done many disgusting things. So I will make that place an empty wasteland. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And now about you, son of man. Your people lean against the walls and stand in their doorways talking about you. They tell each other,
come on, let's go and hear what the Lord says.
So they come to you and sit in front of you as if they were my people. They hear your words, but they will not do the things you say. They only want to do what feels good. They only want to cheat people and make more money. You are nothing to these people, but a singer who sings love songs with a beautiful voice. You play your instrument well. They listen to your words, but they will not do what you say. But the things you sing about really will happen. And then the people will know that there was a prophet living among them.
The Book of James, an introduction. James was the brother of Jesus. It seems that James became a follower of Jesus only after Jesus was raised from death. Then James became a leader in the church in Jerusalem. He served among Jewish believers, so the way James told the good news was different from the way Paul did. Paul's message was mainly for non-Jews. This sometimes led to disagreements, such as Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But the book of Acts says that Paul, James, and Peter all shared the same basic message. They agreed that God had sent his son, Jesus, as the Christ, or chosen king, to save people from sin. The early churches honored all these men. They included their writings among the books of the Bible. James wrote this letter to God's people scattered all over the world. The phrase God's people is literally the 12 tribes in Greek. This normally refers to the Jewish people, so James probably uses it here to mean Jewish believers. The book of James is like a sermon. It teaches the people of God to live wisely in difficult times. The period of 36 to 70 AD was an uncertain period in the Mediterranean world. It was a time of suffering and persecution for Jews, including Jewish believers in Jesus. Also, it seems that there were some disagreements between different groups of God's people. James knew that these problems could destroy the 12 tribes if they did not depend on God. The letter of James moves quickly from one topic to another. It weaves these different ideas together into an artistic pattern. James offers believers much useful advice about how to be faithful to God in times of suffering. James makes it clear that faith is more than believing certain ideas. It is also about living in a way that agrees with those beliefs. The book of James teaches that faith is tested when God's people don't remember the reasons they have to be happy, when they hear God's teaching but fail to follow it, when they want to impress important people and ignore those who are poor, when they want to claim to have faith but do not do what faith demands, when they find it hard to control what they say, and when they have evil desires and selfish thoughts, when they use wealth selfishly, when they are impatient, and finally, when they are facing troubles and need help from each other. Let's get started. James chapter 1. Greetings from James, a servant belonging to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to God's people who are scattered all over the world. Faith and wisdom. My brothers and sisters, you will have many kinds of trouble, but this gives you a reason to be very happy. You know that when your faith is tested, you learn to be patient in suffering. If you let that patience work in you, the end result will be good. You will be mature and complete. You will be all that God wants you to be. Do any of you need wisdom? Ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to everyone, so he will give you wisdom. But when you ask God, you must believe. Don't doubt him. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is blown up and down by the wind. People like that are thinking two different things at the same time. They can never decide what to do, so they should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. True riches. Believers who are poor should be glad that God considers them so important. Believers who are rich should be glad when God causes them to lose their pride. Their riches will not keep them from dying like wild flowers. As the sun rises and gets hotter, its heat dries up the plants and the flowers fall off. The flowers that were so beautiful are now dead. That's how it is for the rich too. While they're still making plans for their business, they will die. Temptation does not come from God. The great blessings belong to those who are tempted and remain faithful. After they have prayed their faith, God will give them the reward of eternal life that he promised to all who love him. Whenever you feel tempted to do something bad, you should not say, "God is tempting me." Evil cannot tempt God, and God himself does not tempt anyone. You are tempted by the evil things you want. Your own desire leads you away and traps you. Your desire grows inside you until it produces sin. Then the sin, when it is full grown, produces death. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be fooled about this. Everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from him. These good gifts come down from the Father, who made all the lights in the sky. But God never changes like the shadows from those lights. He is always the same. God decided to give us life through the true message he sent to us. He wanted us to be the most important of all that he created. Listening and obeying. My dear brothers and sisters, always be more willing to listen than to speak. Keep control of your anger. Anger does not help you live the way God wants. So get rid of everything evil in your lives, every kind of wrong you do. Be humble and accept God's teaching that is planted in your hearts. This teaching can save you. Do what God's teaching says. Don't just listen and do nothing. When you only sit and listen, you're fooling yourselves. Hearing God's teaching and doing nothing is like looking at your face in the mirror and doing nothing about what you saw. You go away and immediately forget how bad you looked. But when you look into God's perfect law that sets people free, pay attention to it. If you do what it says, you'll have God's blessing. Never just listen to his teaching and forget what you heard. The true way to worship God. You might think you're a very religious person, but if your tongue is out of control, you are fooling yourself. Your careless talk makes your offerings to God useless. the worship that God wants is this: caring for orphans or widows who need help and keeping yourself free from the world's evil influence. This is the kind of worship that God accepts as pure and good. Psalm 127, a song from Solomon for going up to the temple. If it is not the Lord who builds a house, the builders are wasting their time. If it is not the Lord who watches over the city, the guards are wasting their time. It is a waste of time to get up early and stay up late, trying to make a living. The Lord provides for those he loves, even while they are sleeping. Children are a gift from the Lord, a reward from a mother's womb. A young man's sons are like the arrows in a soldier's hand. The man who has many of these arrows enjoys a great blessing. He will never be defeated when he faces his enemies, the city gates. Thank you, everyone. That was day 321. Join us for day 322. We'll continue in the book of Ezekiel. God prophesies against the wicked shepherds who are misleading Israel, but they will be replaced by a new shepherd. Of course, that's being God himself. And God turns his wrath against Edom and Mount Seir. In the New Testament, we'll hear more from James in chapter 2. He speaks against rich people. He talks about not being double-minded as a Christian and points out that faith is not just a feeling you have, but it's something you act upon. It should result in actions. Otherwise, it's not really faith. We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.